Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the post-spring break edition of the Hoop Talks NBA podcast. As always, I'm Mitch Robson, joined by Sean Woodley. People on a first-name basis with you. But Sean, the weather is nice, but it's still freezing cold. So spring is not here yet, despite the reports.
It is kind of weird. It's like a cold desert lately, where there's no precipitation whatsoever, and it's like kind of pleasant, and you can walk around, and it's not disgusting and snowy. But yeah, it's a little chilly. Although today's kind of nice. I don't know what it's like for you in Toronto, but in Hamilton today, it's quite nice. I just had a sweater when I went outside today, when I went to go play basketball, and that's it. It was nice.
How did your pickup basketball game go? Because I know that's what people are dying to know.
It was not really anything. I just went. There was no one really at the gym, so I just shot around for 90 minutes or so. Got a little sweat on, and that was it. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was a little more easygoing than the media game we played a couple weeks ago with all the Raptors writers, in which Megan McPeak ruptured her Achilles, and
that's a tough slide.
A whole bunch of bad things happened, but. No. It's I've been playing a little bit more lately, and it's nice. I miss it. I have missed it. It's good now. I'm gonna get like the 3-on-3 tournament this summer for Raptors Republic is not gonna be ready for me.
Wow, that's a boy. You're calling your shot.
Gonna be extremely average as opposed to being just completely terrible the way I was last time I played. So.
Wow. Yeah. I think people are going to have to get ready to sign you. Like, Dan Reynolds is going to be sending you a message as soon as he listens to this.
I will not.
Because obviously he will.
I will not play with Dan Reynolds, man. He's a very, very abrasive teammate.
Is this beef? Is this beef?
No, it's everyone knows this about Dan. It's a common thing. He's like the Chris Paul of pickup. He just berates his teammates nonstop.
I love it.
I mean, I respect the competitiveness, I suppose, but dude. Relax.
Speaking of Chris Paul, he's hurt right now, just like every other all-star in the NBA.
Wait, Chris Paul's hurt?
Yeah, Chris Paul's taking the weekend off.
Oh, cool. He's fine. It's not like a serious injury.
No, but he's just resting some nagging stuff. There's still some soreness in that knee, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah, no. Yeah, Chris Paul's fine. I'm not worried about Chris Paul. It's the other two point guards who I think we need to actually be concerned about. It's Steph Curry. The news just came out that his knee injury suffered last night. That's always like, so I didn't watch that game last night. I woke up to the notification on my phone that he had been injured, and it's just like, this is the worst possible thing to wake up to. Injuries are ass, and Steph's going to be out at least 3 weeks, it seems, with a grade 2 MCL sprain. I think I saw some injury expert guy tweeted that that injury is between 3 and 6 weeks. So 3 weeks, that's pretty much right in time for the playoffs. 6 weeks, that's getting into potentially the second round, which is a little concerning if you're the Warriors, no?
I mean, maybe. I think it depends on how the rest of the gang gets back together, because Durant's coming off that injury too, and I see Draymond should be back this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, but if they have to try to put it all together in a second-round playoff series against a pretty good team that could be sitting in that 4-5 range, like, or even the 3 spot if they end up the 2. You don't want to mess around with that.
Yeah, and this is what happened in the 2016 season, right? Like, Steph got hurt around this time of the year. He came back in the second round and was, like, fine against the Blazers, but he was never really back to 100%. And that's, like, one of the contributing factors as to why they got they lost the 3-1 lead to the Cavs, I think. Like, Steph not being MVP Steph was a problem for them. So, I don't think this is nothing. Why is my alarm going off? Oh, it's reminding me to wake up from my nap to do a podcast with you.
Good for you. Jump in the alarm like a true adult.
Yeah, well, you texted me as I was, like, kind of emerging from my slumber. And but anyway, no, I think this Warriors team is maybe a little less able to withstand something like that from Steph. I mean, it's just, of course, Durant wasn't there in 2016 yet, but they were a much deeper team then, and they had Harrison Barnes and all these guys, and I think they had a more complete roster, whereas now I kind of just look at the Warriors as like a 4.5 guy team. I know Andre Iguodala is very good, and he'll probably sort of round into form for the playoffs and sort of care, but like their bench has not been good this season. Patrick McCaw's taking a step back. Kevon Looney doesn't really know how to play basketball. Nick Young and like I'm not trusting Nick Young for anything in the playoffs. Neither am I with JaVale McGee. And I'm concerned that this could eventually be something that comes and bites the Warriors a little bit. I'm not saying that they're going to lose a second round series or something like that, but if we get to the conference finals and Steph's not totally right, like the Rockets are good enough now that I think even the slightest injury or slightest hole in the Warriors could potentially lead the Rockets to have a very real puncher's chance, maybe even, you know, potentially be favored if Steph's not available in a series. Because for me, with the Warriors, like, I think Kevin Durant's a better player than Steph, but I think Steph is more important to how the Warriors want to play and just sort of their...
Most definitely.
To their identity as a team. And I think without Steph, like, they're still excellent. They're still maybe title favorites, but I think it's the margin for error, especially with a team like Houston lurking, is significantly less. So I'm hoping Steph gets back. I want to see, like, that full strength Warriors team go against the Rockets, because I still think it'll be a good series either way. But, like, if you're any team right now in the league, you're looking at the Warriors, who are supposed to be this, you know, impenetrable fortress of a team, and maybe there's, like, a glimmer of hope that maybe things could break properly. Steph doesn't come back in a timely fashion, or when he does, he's rushed back because it's the playoffs, maybe he's not 100%. Like, it's weird as, like, a Raptors fan to be, like, actually having something kind of riding on this news. It's kind of messed up, but, like, it is, I think, a pretty significant injury. What do you think?
No, I agree with everything you just said, and, I mean, you talk about the Raptors and waiting on the significance of an injury. Another point guard who's going to return in 3 to 6 weeks, Kyrie Irving, for Boston. Mm-hmm. I think that pretty much resigns the Celtics to that 2 seed, and hopefully the Cavs stick in that 3 seed, because if you're the Raptors, you do not want to see Cleveland until the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's an odd time. It feels like every year we say there's more injuries than the one before, but this year it's really affected those playoff teams at the top of the conferences, and a couple of those teams trying to keep their foothold into, like Minnesota sliding down the West right now without Jimmy Butler. So I think there's a lot of teams right now who really want their guys back, but it'll be interesting to see what these teams look like full strength. I mean, we saw with Kevin Love against the Raps the other night that Cleveland looks like a whole different team when he's on the floor, so he can complement LeBron.
They also look like a different team when George Hill and Jose Calderon go 15 of 18. Like, that's significant and not going to be replicable, I don't think. But, the Kyrie thing sucks. I think that kind of makes the Celtics, you know, a pretty likely, you know, first-round upset team, really. They've kind of sputtered since, I don't know, February 1st or middle of January or whatever you want to call it, since they came back from that trip to London. And, like, yeah, I think the 1 seed's pretty much locked up anyway. It's a 4.5-game difference right now. I don't really see that being... Like, there's 9 games left for the Raptors. There's no way they're losing that, I don't think. But the race for that 7 seed now is kind of interesting, because the Pacers have a pretty tough schedule coming up. They're 3 games up on the Heat. The Wizards are 1.5 up. I wonder if we'll see a team try to tank down to 7 in order to get the Celtics if Kyrie's not going to be 100% or even back by the first round. Because, like, I would much rather, if I'm the Wizards, for example, try to tank down to 7 to play the Celtics as opposed to sit there at 6 and have the Cavs in the first round.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It's so finite and delicate to be able to try to do something like that within a couple of games. I don't know. A lot of people throw those theories out all the time, but I don't know how much guys actually play into that very often, because, like,
I mean, that literally happened with the Raptors in 2014 with the Nets. Like, the Nets said that they tanked down to play the Raptors.
Yeah, but I mean, even if it just ends up like that, you say that at the end, right?
I guess.
It looks good for you. But, so speaking of those matchups, we are going to put together today our ideal first-round playoff matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that right now, taking a peruse through the East standings, if we want to start in the East, right now those 4 series look pretty good on paper. You've got Raptors-Bucks in the 1-8 rematch of last year. You've got the Celtics and Heat, which would be a lot of fun because we know how hard the Heat play against the Celtics, who also play pretty hard. Cavs-Wizards is the ultimate, like, ESPN late-night scoop series from Windhorst on some kind of drama that's going down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd think Sixers-Pacers would get relegated to NBA TV, but the Simmons-Embiid effect might pull them up from that.
Yeah, I don't know who would be in the NBA TV. It might be Celtics-Heat, really. I mean,
it might also be Raptors-Bucks.
I don't think they can do that with the 1 seed. Like, I just don't see that happening.
Didn't the 1 seed Hawks play on NBA TV?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I think this team's a little more interesting than the Hawks team was, but... That's just,
I mean,
that might be
to,
a biased
to us,
opinion.
To us, yes.
It might be
to
a
the,
biased
to the world.
Opinion, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so I don't know if this is my ideal bracket right now. I think I'm okay with the 1-2-3 the way it is. Raptors, Celtics, Cavs, that would be ideal.
That's perfect.
Honestly, though, I struggle with this, with the Cavs thing and like them falling to 4, because I don't think it's like the end of the world if you're a Raptors fan. Like, yes.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing. I want a deep playoff run. I want to go to the conference finals because it's really fun and it's exciting, and it's deep playoff runs are really fun to cover and be around, and it's great to have an extended playoff run in a city. It just is cool to happen. But I think there's an argument, A, to playing the Cavs early just before they kind of get gelled, because really they have maybe 15 games between now and a second round series to kind of get everyone, you know, playing on the same level and working together. I mean, that game on Wednesday, I don't think it means that much, because the lineups the Cavs used are just lineups that we're never, ever going to see in real games that matter for them. Like, it's just their starting five had never played together in that game, and it's not going to play together much once everyone's healthy. And there's just not a lot of time for them to kind of get a rhythm going. And we've seen with a lot of teams, like, you put a whole bunch of new players together, it takes more than just like 10 games to figure it out. It takes, you know, sometimes half a season for teams to really start to click. So I know LeBron is ridiculous, and he proved that on Wednesday night against the Raptors, but I think, and even just like the whole Raptors season is going to be measured against the Cavs regardless of what time of the playoffs it comes against them. And like, I still think going after that game Wednesday, like, that was a very close and good game, and I think the Raptors and Cavs are, it's kind of a toss-up to me at this point as a series. Like, I don't think that changed my opinion any, you know. I think the only way that changes your opinion is if you thought the Raptors were prohibitive favorites, but I think you're stupid if you thought they were, you know, just obvious favorites over the Cavs. And I think they're, it's like a 50-50 toss-up series, and I think that still is the true today. So I don't really care when it happens, but because in the interest of long playoff runs.
I agree with you to an extent on that, almost just because kind of like my personal connection with Ryerson beating Carlton in the semifinal, even though they lost in the final, is you take the giant out early and then anything is possible, right? Mm. But with the way the seeding is right now, if you were to play the Sixers or the Pacers in the second round, I think you win a lot of the mental game right there, because actually the Raptors will have the team that's got more playoff experience than either of those squads.
That's true.
And in a second-round series, like, if the Sixers are to beat the Pacers in the first round, that's entirely new sledding for everyone but J.J. Redick, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think in that point, you can be the veteran team going in there, and then against the Cavs, you're going to have so many storylines swirling around it if you had to play them in the second round, and all the pass failure is going to be brought up so much earlier than they would be otherwise, that maybe just for my mental health as a Raptors fan, that I would much prefer to play either the Sixers or Pacers in the second round. Take care of business in 5 or 6 games if you can, ideally. Hope the Celtics or the Heat push the Cavs to 7, and then you duke it all out in the conference finals from there.
That's fair. In terms of just like entertainment of matchups, I think Raptors-Bucks for me, I'm totally down with. That was a fun series last year, as stressful as it was. For Raptors fans, I think the Raptors kind of figured it out. And I think the Bucks are just not as scary as they were last year.
I was going to say, this Bucks team is a lot worse, even though it seemed like they should be better.
They don't know how to play basketball. They really don't. They're just like a bunch of dudes that got thrown together at a pickup game, and they're just like, all right, we'll improvise every time down the floor, and we don't have much of an identity defensively, and we have a piece of white bread coaching us. Like, it's...
Remember, Chris Middleton better than DeMar, though.
Yeah.
Of course.
Jay Crowder, too.
Yeah,
no, I think the Bucks are easy pickings for the Raptors in the first round. And if it's that, I mean, they're only a half game back of the Heat right now, so you can't pencil anything in. I think the Raptors are beyond worrying about who their first round opponent is. But I think from entertainment standpoint, give me Raptors, Bucks, because the Heat are kind of lame. I would like to see Celtics, Wizards in the first round. Those two teams hate each other a lot. The Wizards are only a game and a half up on the Heat, and their schedule is not particularly easy. I mean, it's sort of easy. They have, it's like either it's feast or famine for the rest of the way for them. So they have the Nuggets. They just played the Nuggets yesterday. They have the Knicks, then the Spurs, then the Pistons, Hornets, Bulls, but then Rockets, Cavs, then Hawks, and then
it's
Celtics,
kind of a
50-50
split.
It's only good or awesome teams, essentially. Or sorry, awful or awesome teams. But that's a hard schedule to sort of gauge. Let me pull up Miami's here.
See, I would think kind of almost like last year's Bulls Celtics series, if this Heat team can go into Boston with Wade in that locker room now as kind of the spiritual leader of that team, he's going to have a throwback game in there. You'll have Whiteside going up against Horford, which would be interesting, I think, for me. And I even though the Celtics second unit has been pretty good all year, I kind of like what the Heat have with their nine-man rotation, where you just throw these guys out there who are going to go balls to the wall. And, like, I think Josh Richardson could destroy whoever Boston puts up in the backcourt.
The Heat kind of remind me of, like, a less talented Celtics team, in that they just, like, play really hard and, like, are annoying and are well-coached. That's pretty much it.
The Kelly Olynyk revenge game would be a great moment at the Garden.
That would be pretty fun. I'm still on board with Wizards-Celtics because that's, like, a really fun petty rivalry thing that I dig. Also, I think the Heat probably have the easier schedule down the stretch here. They have Pacers, Cavs, Bulls, Nets, Hawks, Knicks, Thunder, Raptors, and the Raptors is the last game of the year. The Raptors are going to rest guys for that, you would assume.
For sure.
I mean, last year, Bruno hit a three, or Jonas hit his first three, and Bruno had a career high in the last game of the season against the Cavs. So the Raptors are not going to be playing anyone in that last game. So the Heat have a chance to kind of go on a bit of a run here, too. Maybe even get up to a 5 seed? That's going to be hard. They're 3 games back of the Pacers, but I think, for me, my ideal playoff matchup would be Raptors-Bucks, Celtics-Wizards. Give me Cavs-Heat. Give me that drama. I'm all for
interesting.
That.
Interesting.
I'm down for Cavs-Heat. Wade against LeBron again. That'd be kind of fun. That never really happened. It was supposed to happen a couple times, I think, and then the bracket didn't break properly in the last couple years. I guess the year that the Raptors went to the conference finals, that was a potential matchup, but yeah, so give me Cavs Heat, the 3-6, and then yeah, Sixers Pacers I think will be a fun series. Like an unexpected Pacers team with Victor Oladipo just kind of going balls out, and then the Sixers, I feel like that would give the Sixers a nice, like, I think the Sixers would win that series pretty easily because of
really
it. Yeah, I kind of do. I don't think the Sixers are going to be a particularly good playoff team. I mean, they're one of the worst fourth quarter offenses in the league, and I still think there are lots of things that are going to become problems for them in the playoffs, but I think the Pacers are a team that are going to be very ripe for being picked apart. If you listen to the Low Post yesterday with Zach Lowe and Chris Herring, they were talking about how the Pacers are like a bad playmaking team. Everything kind of runs through Oladipo, and if you trap Oladipo, I think you could kind of give a similar effect to the Pacers as we've seen with the Raptors in the past few years, where they're so heavily dependent on Kyle and DeMar, that when you trap them and they have no one else to make plays, that you can kind of expose them that way. And I think the Pacers are going to kind of struggle with that, except they only have one guy instead of two that you can really count on to put the ball in their hands. So I think the Pacers are going to kind of be a quick out in the playoffs, but that'll be a fun series either way. Like Oladipo against Simmons, and I guess Miles Turner hopefully can kind of get back on track against Embiid. I mean, oh God, Turner would get murdered by Embiid in that series.
It's just who are you going to if you're the Sixers and you need a basket?
I mean,
in a late game situation,
that's true. They're
not
a good
crunch
time
wing
team.
Scorer,
yeah.
Right? That's going to be able to, like, if Embiid, you can take your chances with Joel, but I don't think Ben Simmons is going to make a jump shot.
Oh, I agree. I don't think they're a very good. I mean, he's shooting like 70% on twos or something, or around the basket, and 50% on twos or something crazy like that. But yeah, I do think
it's just if they're in a close game late, I would trust maybe more of the Pacers just because I think they have some vets. And I mean, Oladipo's been great this year.
Yeah,
and you have guys that have been contributors on playoff teams before.
Yeah, I don't want to believe the Pacers, really. It still doesn't make sense.
I mean, you look at the roster, it makes no sense.
It still doesn't make sense that a team with Darren Collison is this good, but apparently they are. Is there a more despicable backcourt partnership than Lance Stephenson and Darren Collison, by the way?
I love Lance, oh, unconditionally.
Fuck Lance Stephenson.
All of his indiscretions off the court, like, forget those. When he's on the court, his joy is infectious to me.
He's just like a shitty player who like enjoys being shitty.
Well, he plays the playground. Ugh. It's like he has never left Brooklyn, which is something I appreciate as someone who likes flair.
He's trash. Anyway, give me the team that doesn't have Lance Stephenson in the playoffs, actually. Yeah, I'll take Sixers over Pacers. But I think that's my ideal. Raptors, Bucks, Cavs, or Celtics, Wizards, Cavs, Heat, Sixers, Pacers. And put Sixers-Pacers on NBA TV.
Of course. Sixers-Pacers, NBA TV. I will flip Wizards-Cavs. I'll go with Wizards-Cavs and then Celtics-Heat because I think the Wizards would definitely lose to the Celtics, even though they shouldn't. because they always play down to the competition, no matter who it is.
I don't know if that's true, though. They all, like, they're pretty good in the playoffs. Like, they They should have been in the conference finals the year that the Hawks made it. If John Wall didn't break his hand.
They also should have beat the Celtics last year.
They should have beat the Celtics
last year. Isaiah playing on one leg.
But they didn't. Last year was like their first real playoff disappointment, though, I think. Like, they've kind of overachieved. Remember when they just like kicked the shit out of the Bulls the year before they beat the Raptors? Like, they kind of have these weird playoff series where they kind of overperform. And yeah, they should have beat the Hawks in 2015. Like, John Wall breaks his hand and they lose that series. But like, they were the better team than the Hawks in that series for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I think they're one of the most fluctuating teams in terms of mood, like in perception.
Oh yeah, it's impossible to put a finger on them. They're like exhausting to watch and try to follow throughout a season. Like Wizards fans, I can't imagine being a Wizards fan. It must just the mood swings must be insane.
Oh, especially earlier this year when you had Gortat and Wall and Beal's just kind of around, but Beal didn't like Wall to begin with, but now they're friends. Maybe yeah it's any chance the Pistons win 11 in a row to close the season and sneak in?
I'm going to say no. they're so trash. Stan's, yeah, it's Stan's defo getting fired.
Yeah, but you got Blake, so, you know, there you go.
You want to go to the West?
Sell some jerseys. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
This is where things get interesting.
Yeah, there's so many different like ways it could work out that I'm very interested here. So Rockets and Warriors are going to be 1-2 in that order. The Rockets are four games up on the Warriors. Wow. The Raptors, I believe, are tied right now. They're a half game back, one game back in the loss column of the Warriors, if you're trying to keep tabs on who might have home court advantage in the finals.
In the finals, yeah. Of course.
That's a thing that we are talking about is fucking bonkers.
it's insane. Yeah. It's really insane.
All right. So what are we looking at here for seeding? What do you want to see? So right now, as it stands, Rockets, Warriors, Blazers 3, Thunder 4, Pelicans 5, Spurs 6, Wolves 7, Jazz 8. The Nuggets are a game out behind the Jazz, and the Clippers are 2.5. The Clippers, I think, are done. The Raptors, if they beat them tomorrow, can kind of end their season, I think. The Nuggets, I think, still have a fighting chance, although they lose to teams like the fucking Grizzlies and stuff there.
Who just lost by 61 to the Hornets. So
yeah. Okay. I think the Nuggets and... Is it Nuggets and Wolves? I think the Jazz are too good to fall out. They've been so ridiculously good lately. I think it's probably Nuggets.
Did you see any of that Spurs game last night? Jazz Spurs?
I did not see that game. I didn't watch any basketball last night.
Fantastic. LaMarcus Aldridge had 45. Him and Donovan Mitchell went shot for shot all fourth quarter and overtime.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. Here's the thing in the West. I want the Jazz in for sure because I know that they're going to play good defense in the playoffs, and it's going to make one of these top teams struggle.
They're also a fucky matchup for a lot of people. Like, it's just, yeah.
The Nuggets, as much fun as they are offensively, and like, I like the bench mob. I love Jamal Murray, of course, Canadian. But like you said, they drop so many games to really bad teams that I don't think it's really worth it for them to make it into the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jimmy Butler will be back for the playoffs, right?
I believe so. I think he's like coming back pretty soon.
I want that because it's just Minnesota needs a playoff berth from that team.
I think it would be really funny. I think it would be...
Especially if it's Warriors-Wolves in the first round.
I just think it would be really goddamn funny if the Wolves signed Derrick Rose and then missed the playoffs in the year where they looked like they were going to win 55 games.
That's a good subplot in your anti-D Rose campaign.
I just think that would be really goddamn funny. I was really kind of excited about the Spurs potentially missing, I gotta say.
Yeah, I kind of hate the Spurs. Like, even last night's game, besides it, I hate watching them.
Side note, we talked about injuries. What the fuck is going on with Kawhi, and why is Tony Parker the pettiest piece of garbage in the world?
Well, he's French.
Yeah, also fucks teammates' wives and stuff.
Whose wife was that? Was that...
Brent Barry's.
Brent Barry's wife, right.
Yeah,
right.
Bones.
Put that players only broadcast on. That's,
oh, my God. Yeah, no. Tony Parker saying that his calf injury was 100 times worse than Kawhi Leonard is super weird. And
it's
like not unconvinced that Kawhi Leonard's going to be traded this summer. Like,
I think he is, too, because Kawhi is at that point where like he's grown too big for San Antonio. He's in the Jordan ads.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't think he likes that he was expected to just be the next Tim Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even though his personality is very muted and quiet and he doesn't speak, the fact that everyone's just automatically like, oh, this dude's model lifetime spur, like, mm-hmm. he was typecast, I think, far too early. And I kind of like that he's branching on his own and going, you know what, F you guys, I'm going to do what I want and get my own medical opinions and work out on my own schedule.
Yeah, I really don't know when he's coming back. And it would be super weird if he was just like, yeah, no, I'm good on this year. We'll just take a little vacation. I don't know. So right now the 4-5-6 are very fluid. They're all at 30 losses, the Thunder, Pelicans, and Spurs. They're all probably in. Like, I think we're probably looking at what the 8 teams are going to be. Like, you mentioned the Nuggets, and like, it'd be nice if they could kind of squeak in, but I just don't really see it. And their schedule is not super easy. So they have the Sixers and Raptors up next, then the Thunder, then Bucks, Pacers, Wolves, Clippers, Blazers, Wolves. Like, that is a... That's either your...
I don't even know if there's a guaranteed win in there.
No, like, you're up against either very good teams or up against... Yeah. I don't know who's on back-to-backs and whatnot, and they have some home games, but that's a ridiculously tough schedule down the stretch. And considering how they've played against teams like the Grizzlies, I don't really think you can pencil them in. It's almost like someone smart predicted they wouldn't make the playoffs on this very podcast at the start of the season, huh?
Whoa!
Get a point guard. Nuggets.
The craziest part to me in the West is that the Blazers are somehow still winning at this clip.
Yeah.
Because, like, and their defense is now, like, top five, but, like, it's the exact same roster as last year.
Ed Davis, baby. Ed Davis.
I don't trust them in a 3-6 against the Spurs. As much as we just ripped on the Spurs, like, I could easily see San Antonio winning that series.
So, yeah, let's pick what we think our ideal matchups would be then.
Okay. Rockets-Jazz, I think, would be good because it's contrasting styles. Warriors-Wolves, also I'm on board for because the Wolves are just going to try to beat the hell out of the Warriors, especially if they're banged up still going into that first round.
Right. Like,
That would be a lot of fun. That'd be a physical test for Golden State. Portland, San Antonio is and Thunder, Pelicans. Yeah, I mean, I can get behind that.
So you're just going with what's there as your preferred.
I don't know what I'd rather flip.
Okay, so here's mine. I want to see Rockets Spurs.
Okay.
Ideally, Kawhi comes back and makes them sweat a little bit.
Yeah, Maury would be just shit in his pants.
I mean, I think the Rockets would kick the shit out of the Spurs in a series, let me be clear. But it would be a fun little layer of interest. And, like, honestly, the faster we get the Spurs out of the playoffs, the happier I'm going to be. So give me Spurs, Rockets. give me Warriors, Jazz? Yeah, give me Warriors, Jazz.
Okay.
Because I think that... Like, the Jazz have always kind of given the Warriors some trouble. If Steph's not there, that could be kind of interesting. It's a... amazing offense against a ridiculous defense. I kind of like that, the tete-a-tete there. So give me Warriors Jazz 2-7. Give me the Thunder moving up to 3 to take on the Wolves. They've had some outstanding games this season. Like, some of the they played all their games in like November, but all those games were classics. That Wiggins buzzer beater, there were a few really good games there. I think they had an overtime game or two. So give me Thunder Wolves, and then I think Blazers Pelicans as a 4-5 would just be fun as shit.
I agree with you on that. And also, I think you need the Thunder in that 3 seed because the Thunder only play well against the Warriors.
I forgot to put that in. That, like, I want them in the 3 seed because they would be a second round matchup with the Warriors, and that's such a fascinating rivalry to me. I love it. It's like my favorite rivalry right now, I think.
And then I think also if you ended up with Blazers Pelicans as the 4-5, Anthony Davis could actually get a playoff series win, which would be really nice for him, and especially without Boogie. The way that team's like played through it has been fantastic, and it's still under the radar somehow.
Yeah,
that like they're a middle of the road, like middle of the playoff West team without Boogie Cousins.
1-4 so, straight, I mean, like they're. I'm not sure how dangerous they are in the playoffs. Although I like Drew Holiday, and I think Drew Holiday defending either CJ McCollum or Dave Lillard's an interesting wrinkle to throw into that series because he's such a good point guard defender and he's so enormous for that position. And yeah, Ed Davis against Anthony Davis. Give me the battle of the Davises who are both top 10 players. I'm all for that.
Top 10 players to have played in college in the 2010 era.
Is it the only last name in which both like, the only last name featured two times in the top 10 of NBA players? I think that's true.
Sure.
Yeah. Ed Davis has been a fucking boss this year. Like, he's lived up to the
name. He is Boss Davis.
Yeah, he has very much lived up to the name. So, yeah, give me... I think Blazers-Pelicans... The Blazers always have a fun first-round matchup, I find. Like, it's usually pretty compelling. That Clippers series last year should have been better because of the injuries to the Clippers, but that was should have been a good series. They had that great series against the Rockets back in 2014, I guess it was. They had a series against Memphis, which was kind of cool. Yeah, Blazers-Pelicans 4-5. Set up a Warriors-Thunder second round after the Thunder beat the Wolves. And if the Wolves end up beating the Thunder, which could totally happen, then you get Wolves-Warriors, which would also be fun, because Karl Towns always owns the Warriors. So that's my ideal playoff bracket, I think.
What would be your most trendy upset pick, if you were to have one?
Jazz over unhealthy Warriors, maybe?
That would be legendary.
That'd be wild shit.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. Just we believe the shit out of the Warriors. Like, give them the reverse treatment of the we believe thing.
We don't believe?
Yeah, no. Baron Davis out of retirement to dunk on. Or I guess Donovan Mitchell is the closest thing we have to Baron Davis these days anyway. So just have him dunk on all the Warriors.
There we go.
Yeah.
I think, I would probably go with that. I think everyone wants to see Rockets Warriors, but I'm not fully in on that being what the conference finals will be.
What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. Can we trust Chris Paul past the second round?
Yes, we can. I'm so exhausted by Chris Paul talk. He's really fucking good. Did anyone see the game in Game 7 against the Spurs where he left the game injured and came back and hit the game winner over Tim Duncan? Like, he did that. He's really good. He's had good playoff numbers. He's had good playoff moments. It's not his fault that Josh Smith and Corey Brewer decided to have the best games of their lives at the same time that the Clippers happened to be up by 20 points. Like, I don't know. The Chris Paul stuff is so exhausting to me. I honestly want him to make it to the conference finals just so we can stop with the Chris Paul's never made a conference finals thing.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice for Chris, at least. For us to not consume sport debate show clips on the internet about it.
Is Chris Paul the most underappreciated player of this generation? Because I kind of think he is.
Ooh. What do you consider the generation?
Like, I would say, like, the LeBron era, I guess. Like, I feel like the league kind of switched over.
Maybe?
I would say, if I was to define the eras and, like, when they sort of flipped, I would say maybe, like, 2010, something like that, maybe 2009, around there. Like, it flipped from, like, the doldrums of the aughts, the post-Jordan years, into something where, like, LeBron, in, like, the player empowerment era, LeBron owning the Eastern Conference era. Like, obviously LeBron played before that, but I feel like that was part of an old era. And, like, the new, I guess you could say 2010. Like,
when he went to the Heat.
Like, the decision is, like, the turning point, I suppose. And, like, Chris Paul was very excellent for a couple Hornets teams, and then also all those Clippers teams throughout this decade. Like, he's and people just kind of shit on him for being on teams that couldn't quite get it done and came across, like, historic teams more often than not come playoff time. Like, I don't know how much you can begrudge them losing to the Thunder with Westbrook and Durant. Like, that was an amazing team. Yes, Chris Paul had that blow up in the fourth quarter of one of those games, but before that, he was really good. I don't know. I think he's the most underappreciated player of the decade, at least.
Yeah, I mean, the stats show that, most definitely. And I think that this is probably the year. If they're going to get it done, they get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the first year this team has been together. And I think that maybe once some playoff adversity hits, we'll see how they kind of come together and gel. And it's almost gone too well for them, too easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just feel like there might be a little bit of a swoon coming.
You're underestimating your boy, PJ Tucker's ability to grab the entire team by the nuts and tell them to stop fucking
him
around.
Him and the Prince, Luke Richard.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm so ready for playoff time. This has gotten me, my juices flowing. Can we just fast forward to the end of the regular season?
Yeah, so I excited myself yesterday because I was looking at the schedule and I thought that the playoffs started like April 21st. But then I realized they start the week before that. So we're actually not that far away.
Thank God.
I think 3 weeks from today, actually, is the first day of the playoffs. So get gear up. It's 4:25 right now on Saturday. So We'll be
the Raptors will have already played.
We're an hour removed from the Raptors having lost game one again.
I'll be
deep in the middle of writing my seventh everything's fine post game one piece in the last 4 years.
a 101-90 loss to the Bucks. I see it now.
Giannis drops 40 on 11 shots.
Yeah, I see it. It's our. I'm glad we know this.
Yeah, I think the Raptors are winning a game one this year. I really do.
Is this the year?
I really think they're gonna win a game one. Maybe this will come back to haunt me, but like
maybe they. I think my wild take would be the NBA should go back to the best of five.
I agree.
For the first round,
I'm fully on board. This could be a whole other podcast.
Yes, because like. Maybe it's just I'm in the March Madness mood with the randomness, but like 7 games for 4 straight rounds is monotonous, incredibly so.
Yeah, I like it in the first round just because like some series end, you still got some going on, and it's just like I don't mind that it takes almost 3 weeks to play out the entire first round. I really don't. Like I kind of like it, and there's just basketball on all the time to watch. It's my favorite time of year, I think, really, the first round of the playoffs. The reason I feel like that is like really the first year I kind of got back into caring about the Raptors and basketball was the 2013-14 year, which there were like 5 game sevens in the first round, and it was just super compelling the entire time. And you had that Warriors-Clippers series. You had it was the last year of the Heat. I think they played like the Bobcats or the Hornets. I think they were still the Bobcats then, and that was a fun series even though it was a 4-gamer. There was a bunch of game sevens. It was awesome. It was great. I think that was the Mavericks and Spurs when the Mavericks was upset the Spurs that year too, before the Spurs ended up winning. First round rules, and give me more game sevens, or if you're to take it down, I'm sure we'd get more game fives, and I think that would be a good thing because elimination games
are the best.
Turns out they rule pretty hard.
Speaking of elimination games, will you be watching tonight's March Madness?
No, I don't know.
Have you watched any of the tournament?
I have not.
Do you know
watched.
Who Sister Jean is? Do you know?
Okay, here's the extent of my knowledge. I have not watched a single second of the NCAA tournament. It's been beautiful.
How? How do you live with yourself?
Because I live with myself, knowing that I'm not supporting a awful institution that exploits players and disrupts their earning power for a year for no good reason, and vilifies players who get paid on the side. Honestly, I probably sound very precious and hoity-toity, but I really
yes.
But no, because like I've always complained about how much I think the NCAA fucks over players, and every year I would do a bracket and watch the tournament religiously and sort of get into it. But I figured I can't really say shit about how much I think the NCAA is garbage if I'm feeding into the interest of the tournament and watching it. So I'm okay taking a principled stance down.
But I don't think that watching the games, even though you're supporting it through like paying for your cable package and the TV deal and all that, I think supporting the actual players in the games themselves and enjoying the sport isn't necessarily being on Team NCAA.
Fair enough. I understand. I don't begrudge anyone for watching it. I kind of like that I've avoided it this season. Didn't worry about a bracket. It was great. I know who Sister Jean is. Old ass lady from the Loyola team, right?
Loyola Chicago.
Yeah. She is like a mascot, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's the team chaplain.
What does that even mean? Yes.
So at Catholic schools in the States, they love their basketball, and they normally have just a team chaplain who sits on the end of the bench and is there for spiritual guidance and the like. And theirs happens to be a 98-year-old nun. Huh. So
does she do trampoline dunks?
She may have in her earlier years. That's unconfirmed as of right now.
Mm.
But
garbage.
They're playing a very bad Kansas State team. So
garbage mascot. Should do more dunks, I would argue.
Well, that's a take.
Yeah, no, I'm more of a U Sports guy at this point, man. I gotta say,
Speaking of U Sports,
oh hey, look at this!
Look at this! Why don't you tell the people what we got going this week?
Yeah, I guess we're wrapping it up here. I guess we don't need to dive into my angsty NCAA takes anymore.
Well, I'm going to let the people come at you on Wednesday night about that.
That's fair. So we're going to be doing a panel at Hoop Talks Live on Wednesday. Stores at 7. I think our panel goes at 7:30. It's myself, you, and Jamie Hills, who people might recognize if they watched the women's Final 8, U Sports Final 8, a couple weekends ago. She was on with Arash Madani, did an excellent job, is probably much smarter than us. So
I taught her everything. I taught her everything she knows. True story.
Fucking patriarchy, man. Good God. We're doing a panel. We're going to talk about U Sports Hoops. What else are we going to talk about? Can we do 30 minutes on U Sports Hoops?
I think we could. There's a lot of angles to go down, with, especially with the way the viewership is and how improved it's been over last year. And I think that Carlton losing, as much as you probably cried in a bathroom for multiple hours about that.
No, I agree. It's good. I agree. It's a good thing.
But, yeah, it's kind of reignited an interest, and I think that with the wave of guys we've seen with Keza Kajami-Keem from Carlton and Aaron Best playing for 905, and there's a couple of guys graduating this year, like Manny DeRisa from Ryerson, who will probably get a pro look in the G League or overseas in a high-level spot, that the profile of the league's only growing higher. And I think that with there's probably about six really good teams right now that people deserve to watch, and I hope that it gets more coverage at some point.
Save it for the panel. So buy your tickets. Hoop Talks Live or homestandsports.com. Just go to the events page. We've been tweeting about them a bunch as well. If you use the promo code Woodley or Robson, use Woodley. It's a better promo code word to use. You'll get a discount on tickets as well. And come on out. It's a really fun time. If you've never been to Hoop Talks before, you just kind of, we sit up there, you ask questions, we drink beer, and have a good time. So come on out. See myself, Mitch, and Jamie Hills. And then the second panel, I think includes William Liu, which is all you need to know. Will's a goddamn legend. I think Blake is not going to be there. He was supposed to be, but I think the 905 have a home playoff game that he has to cover now. So doing the Lord's work he is.
And we'll put the live stream on.
Yeah. And then later on, the late panel with Michael Grange and Sherm Hamilton, Eric Smith, and all that crew. So come on out. It's a very good time. Homestandsports.com. And go to the events page, buy tickets, use promo code one of our last names, and hope to see you there.
Hope to see you there. Support the kids these days. Anything you writing this week, Sean?
I haven't written shit in a while. My writing will probably kind of ramp up shortly because the playoffs are coming and whatnot, and I'll be covering games more often. But I'm going to the game tomorrow against the Clippers, so I'll have a recap of that. So stay tuned for that, Raptors HQ. Also, Locked on Raptors all week was good. We hit our 300th episode on Friday. Did a mailbag with Joe Wolfond, so make sure you check that out. It's a good time. And, I don't have anything else to plug. Just follow me on Twitter. Woodley Sean.
I have some stuff to plug, but it can't be announced yet. It's a secret.
Will you tell me off air?
Yeah, I will.
Oh, okay.
You'll find out. I may have told you already. No, maybe I haven't. You'll have to see. This is great radio.
Yeah, let's wrap this thing up so you can tell me.
Perfect. thanks for tuning in, guys. We're going to see you all out Wednesday night. Queen West.
Oh, yeah, it's at the Rivoli.
Rivoli. Be there. Buy your tickets. Use our last names. Cheaper tickets. Buy beer. Have fun. Talk hoops. We'll see you on Wednesday.